Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be here. I haven't been here for a few weeks, just various commitments, plays, holiday and anniversary. So it's lovely not just to be back, but to be up here. And as Tom's already said, I haven't been up here in this capacity before. It's normally children's work, although I'd like to think of this not as an adult talk necessarily, but hopefully something that's universal for all the family. So what we're going to look at today is courage, actually. And we're going to talk about being fearless and possessing a lion-hearted righteousness. And this is designed to give you a cup of courage, hopefully. For people whose courage tank has sprung a leak, which can easily happen to any of us, so obviously we've got quite a small congregation today, so I'm not going to single anyone out and ask you to share anything, but I'd just like you to think for a second about a situation in your life where you feel that you need courage. So just in your own mind, just have a think about a situation, okay, for a second. And then think about how you source the courage that you need. So think about perhaps a situation that was difficult but has been resolved, and how you sourced your courage. Just take a couple of seconds just to think about that. Okay. Recently I've been in a play, which is one of the reasons I haven't been here, but I love performing, but it hasn't been something I've been able to do, obviously, for the last couple of years. And I get very nervous before I go on stage. I was a bit nervous today doing this, even though I'm quite comfortable public speaking. But it kind of goes without saying just to have that little prayer beforehand, just to give you that courage when something does make you nervous. So we're going to look at today's scripture, and that's going to be Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 28. So what I'm going to do is invite the boys to come up here and read that for you. You want to stand down there and do that, boys. And then we'll look into it a bit further when they've done that. Okay, do you want to face the front? You can stay down there and do that. Good boys. Yeah, perfect.
It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps are made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps for his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man. This man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors had all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, should be thrown in the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing.
Now, when Daniel heard that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before. Then his men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about the royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to God or human being accepted to you, your majesty will be thrown onto the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is the one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring, and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God.
Well done, thank you, boys. Very well read. I gave you some tricky words there, didn't I? Well done. So this is actually one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. Daniel teaches us how to live when you believe in one true God in a world where the moral compass is broken. So we're now going to look at this a bit deeper, and we're going to look at how God gives you courage to live out your convictions. Like Daniel, we've been placed in a world of worry and fear. One of the reasons why I thought this was quite apt at the moment. A world very different to the one we grew up in a world that is evolving quickly. So I read about a senior adult man, and I felt it was apt to share this as he'd begun volunteering with Gideon's, as people do here. And actually, bits of it reminded me of the video that Tom shared as well, funnily enough. But so this retired man stood outside an inner city multicultural school asking students if they would like a free Bible. A police officer approached him. Not asking one question, the police officer began to complain about his presence. The retired man claimed there were always two reactions to the Gideons handing out Bibles at local schools. Many people thank them, and others complain they are there. So the police officer continues his rant about the Gideon's presence when he eventually recognises that they have a constitutional right to be there. Nevertheless, he eventually asks two questions. First, do you intend to remain here and hand out these Bibles? The man said they did intend to stay there. Second, the officer said, how many more of you are there? When learning there was around 3 or 4 more men there surrounding the school, he takes off to share with them what he has just said. That's when the head teacher of the school intersects his path. The head loves having the Gideons there and has said, my kids need 3 or 4 Bibles each, please. After a few minutes of discussion between the head and the officer throws up his hands and heads back to the car. It just so happened that the path to his police car was near the retired man who'd just got an earful from the officer. As the officer approached, this man simply asked him to pause and watch. It was then that Gideon asked two female students, would you like a free Bible? And demonstrated the Gideons meant no harm. With this, the officer threw up his hands and walked off. I think that's courage. But we live in a challenging world. But I would like to help you guys, all of us, find courage to live for Christ in a broken world. I want you to see Daniel as a living, breathing example of what Proverbs chapter 28, verses 1 says. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but righteous are as bold as a lion. We want to take to the soil where bold courage grows. World's a scary place. Whether it's random shootings or the threat of war or the pandemic, many of us are scared, like we haven't been before. And as, even as a Christian, you know, you still, we're human, aren't we? There isn't a follower of Christ who doesn't struggle at a time to reconcile what he knows about God and the challenges he faces. Often when our faith and culture collide, fear seizes us. While fear is designed by God and has a wonderful protective benefit, it can often lead us astray. Fear can cause us to shrink where our courage should swell. So this, let's just examine a bit of the story and talk about some of the meanings behind it in relation to this. So the story begins with the breakdown of administration of the government of the Persian Empire. This was the largest empire in world history at the time. Daniel was chosen and promoted at the expense of others. We see a number of high officials or government officials who feared losing control to an outsider. Daniel. Let's look at what motivated these high officials. So the first point, jealousy and anger. Okay, that can always be an Achilles heel, can't it? As the enemy will concentrate their fire on the best soldier, these high officials chose Daniel to concentrate their jealousy. Two, fear leading to frustration. Fear travels in packs like a wolf. Only these men's fears might best be described as paranoia. These high officials were losing control, and fear motivated them to conspire against him. A cheap substitute for courage is anger, and anger is often fueled by fear. I'm angry and frustrated when I can't control the events in my life. I can hold my hands up to that. I can go off on a rant. Anger fuels paranoia. Irony. They thought they were controlling the situation, but in essence, they were being controlled. Evil can never manufacture enough glue to keep itself together. Evil plans have no lasting cohesion, and evil plans always dissolve eventually. Okay, the next point, the fundamentals of courage. Where does real courage come from? How do you get courage when you need it? Some people are born with personalities and dispositions that exude self-assurance. But for most of us, confidence has to be developed over time and with life experience, I guess. But courage is more than feeling good about ourselves. So now we're just going to look at some of Daniel's attributes here. So Daniel's spirit. Then Daniel became extinguished above all other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So that's verse 3. So Daniel is approximately 88 years old, we reckon, when he stood before King Darius. Daniel is a trophy of war in that he was carried off to this strange land and made a salve. Then we look at Daniel's integrity. They could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Daniel was pure and honest. And these men said, "We not shall find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Daniel's discipline. So I need to now, I think this is one of the most important parts in the scripture, call attention to Daniel's constant and consistent habit of prayer. It would have been an awesome experience to listen outside the doorway of Daniel's prayer closet. Of all the spiritual disciplines a Christian does, prayer is a real sign of trust in God, who has the events of our life in his control. Daniel's defiance. Soon Darius issues a decree for there to be no prayer for 30 days. Let's look at Daniel's reaction. When Daniel knew that this document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he'd done previously. Daniel prays at the same place, at the hour, in the same position, and in the same spirit as he'd done before. There was no alteration in his convictions. Daniel knew that if he were to stop praying, as was his habit, it would look like he was complying with the new decree. You need to develop and live life with biblical convictions. You have 3 choices for standards of right and wrong. 1, internal choice. Many of us look inside us to find moral clarity. I can go with the choice that says I'm going to believe based on what I choose to be the truth. 2, external choice. The second choice is believing based on what everybody else is doing. Okay, that's again quite a human thing to do. 3, eternal choice. The third choice, the choice that I would encourage each of us to carefully consider, is what is called the eternal choice. God is truth. God is absolute. God is universal. God is unchanging. Let him guide you and turn to him for your decision making, as he knows the outcome anyway, so he can influence better than you or anyone else. So let's look at what Daniel didn't do. Many Christians would rationalize and say, so what if I pray in secret for the next 30 days? Daniel didn't look for a secret place to pray, and he didn't skip his morning, noon, or night devotions. Daniel didn't pray with his windows shut, and he didn't adjust his prayers according to someone's convenience. Daniel was a lion of a man, for Daniel was a man of conviction. The seductive allure of compromise is like a siren's call. Do right and leave the consequences to God. I'm not talking about being obnoxious or unkind. There is a wind blowing over many of Christ's people where we don't have the courage of our convictions. Many of us reflect the norms of our wicked society because it's what we're living and breathing day in, day out. Daniel didn't look for a compromise, but he went straight forward in his path of prayer. He would not maintain his position at the expense of his convictions. Okay, so the focus of faith. Certainly we feel the sleepless night of the king as we rush with him to see if Daniel has been torn apart by lions. We all struggle with fear. Yeah, all of us become fearful, discouraged, frustrated. But there was something different about Daniel. He had faith. And we ask here at the last point, where did Daniel get his backbone? What was his secret? Daniel's courage wasn't natural. Instead, it was supernatural. What is faith? Courage is always produced by faith, and faith is God confidence. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, it says in verse 10. He had faith in God because he personally knew God was alive. Daniel had confidence above and gave thanks before his God. Remember, and without faith it is impossible to please him. That comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Daniel's faith was from above. He had faith in God for good reason. God has never lost. He remains undefeated. He's never crashed and he's never been overloaded. We need to have our faith focused like a laser. So here are 3 components we need to increase our faith. 1, our own personal experience with God. Many of us have borrowed faith. God is your father's God, your pastor's God, your wife's God. But we need God to be our God, your God. We need to recognize there is a relationship between the strength of our faith and personal experience with God. Okay, next we look at the size of your God. We need to recognize there is a relationship between the strength of our faith and the size of our God. If you have little faith, then your view of God is too small. Faith places the glory, power, and the presence of God on display for all to see. Faith says, God will come through. One of the biggest obstacles to possessing lion-hearted, righteous boldness is simple. People are too big and God is too small. Fear grows when people are big and God is small. Yet, for yet a while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10, 37 to 38. But conversely, faith grows when God is big and people are small. So again, that's a little bit about being humble, okay, and being kind. But of course, being a Christian doesn't mean being a pushover. You know, you do stand up for what you believe in, which is why we need this courage, this God-given courage. Okay, and then the last component is the eye of your faith. So we need to shift our eyes from what threatens to destroy us to the one who promised to deliver us. The power of faith isn't our faith itself. The power of faith is in the one you believe. Focus your faith by putting the crosshairs on Christ. Christ is the power that faith draws its strength from. Faith is sight, even when the lights are off. Interestingly, the story is from King Darius's point of view. Even though Daniel wrote the account, the reader is taken inside the king's bedroom rather than inside the lion's den. And there's a real irony here when we compare 2 men's perspectives that night. One man was at peace while the other was in conflict. We are told that the king cried out in a tone of anguish from the safety of his kingly place. All the while it was discovered that no kind of harm was found on Daniel inside the lion's den. When you are in the will of God, you will sleep on a bed of lions. The king had everything at his disposal for comfort and rest, where Daniel only had the presence of God. Who got the best night's sleep? You know, we can all toss and turn at night, can't we, if something's bugging us? But, you know, that's actually probably a really good time to spend with God if you can't get to sleep. Perhaps it's a blessing. Well, this is totally unbroken, quiet time I can have with him without the busyness of the day. So I just want to finish with a prayer. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence among us. Help us to remember this presence even when times are tough and we find ourselves busy. Help us to know that we should consult you first in whatever challenges we have. Help us to remember and thank you for all our blessings. Thank you for keeping us safe in the knowledge that you are there, guiding us, protecting us, and keeping us safe, and giving us that courage from you. Thank you. Amen.